The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show, Thursday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. I got to respond to a couple of things that I've heard just in the last 10 minutes or so on the radio station. So I'm going to talk in a couple of minutes. We got to get Americans back to work. And what we are expecting at the president, the White House coronavirus task force briefing that we will bring you live at 2 o'clock this afternoon. But according to NBC News, they've talked to senior administration officials, and they say that the president is going to announce a second coronavirus task force focused on the economy and getting the economy up and running. And so this economic task force, this is fantastic news. In fact, 3 days ago, I said this is exactly what they should do. I'm sure he was listening. But if you have because we've got to find a better balance than what we have right now. And so we'll hear details of that. But we got the new unemployment numbers out today. 6.6 million people last week filed for new unemployment claims. 16 million people now have lost their jobs because of this economic shutdown. So in other words, 1 out of 10 working Americans have lost their jobs, and it's still going to get worse. And at some point, they have to find the balance between the health effects of this and getting the economy back up and running. And I know that the doctors say, well, you can always rebuild an economy. Yeah, but you're going to lose a lot of lives if we go into a 1930s-style depression when people were committing suicides at alarming rates, and the toll that that takes on unemployed people, on business owners, is just unbelievable. And so we've got to get the economy up and running again. So 2 o'clock this afternoon. Oh, and by the way, I'm also proud. We apparently shamed Jay Inslee into stopping having his press conference at the same time as the White House, because Jay Inslee is going to have a 3:30 press conference this afternoon, presumably after the president's White House coronavirus task force is done. What?
Trump's pressers have been going at least an hour and a half, so it's smack in the middle of it, really.
That's true. Well, you know what? That's not our problem, Nicole. That's Tom and Curly's problem. Tom and Curly can decide, do you want to dump out of the wildly entertaining Q&A with Donald Trump or carry the sleep-inducing Jay Inslee? And that'll be their call at 3:30 this afternoon when the Inslee press conference is.
So I know they're going to go to Inslee, so everybody out there, if you want to hear Inslee, 3:30.
Yes, exactly. But you might miss. Have you bumped up all the audio for today's show, Nicole?
I have. Refresh.
I'm refreshing. I refreshed as I was going on the air. Okay, yes, you have. Yeah, because you could miss. If we don't carry the Trump Q&A, you could miss something like this from a New York Post reporter at yesterday's White House coronavirus task force briefing.
One of the biggest rating hits of the coronavirus, aside from these briefings, has been a show on Netflix called Tiger King.
Yeah.
And the man who's the star of this is a former zoo owner who's serving a 22-year prison sentence. He's asking you for a pardon, saying he was unfairly convicted. Your son yesterday jokingly said that he was going to advocate for it, and I was wondering if you've seen the show and if you have any thoughts on pardoning Joe Exotic.
Which son? It must be Don. I had a feeling it was Don. Is that what he said? I don't know. I know nothing about it. He has 22 years for what? What did he do?
He allegedly hired someone to murder an animal rights activist, but he said that he didn't do that. And he was.
You think he didn't do it? Are you on his side?
Are you
recommending a pardon?
No, I'm not advocating anything.
As a reporter, you're not allowed to do that. You'd be criticized by these. Would you recommend a pardon?
I'm not weighing in on time.
I don't think you would. I don't think you would. Go ahead. Do you have a question? I'll take a look. Is that Joe Exotic? That's Joe Exotic.
So you can either get moments like that, or you can get Jay Inslee at 3:30 this afternoon. I like when he goes, which son? Must have been Don, right? Because, you know, sometimes people will say, hey, did you see what your daughter did? And based on what they're describing, I'll say, which one? I bet it was fill in the blank. So anyway, 2 o'clock, the president, a White House new economic coronavirus task force. And what we are hearing, I've been calling all my close inside sources at the White House. What we're hearing is that the president wants to get the economy back up and running in the next 4 to 8 weeks on a rolling basis. So they will start slow, hopefully get up to, you know, full rejuvenation. But, you know, again, the medical coronavirus task force is going to have things to say about that. And that's why I want to turn to you and your text messages, because I want to know how you're feeling right now about the balance we've all sacrificed with the stay at home. Many of you have sacrificed much more than I can possibly imagine, with lost jobs and lost businesses. Although the feds are doing a good job of getting the money out there to try to prop up the people who have been so horribly affected by this. But for everybody, regardless of your situation and how this has impacted you and your life, if there are competing coronavirus task force with one focused on the economy and one focused on the health situation, what's the balance that you would like to see come out of that? So text us at 98973. That's 98973. Okay, I haven't even gotten to the things that I heard in the last few minutes that I need to comment on. One, right before the top of the hour, there was a text message read, and the person said, I don't know how to apply for the federal money. I didn't make enough this year to file a federal income tax return. I'm not very savvy. What should I do? And they said, we'll look into it. Well, I've looked into it, and I can answer that. So you didn't make enough to file a federal income tax return, you say. The minimum amount you have to make in order to need filing a tax return is $12,200. And you made less than that. So I would like to ask that texter, how much less? Did you make $10,000 this last year? Did you make $5,000? Did you make zero? If you didn't make, you made something under $12,200. I know that just based on the text that I heard read. How much money do you want from the federal government? I mean, because I don't think you should be eligible for $1,000 a week. This is meant to make whole people who have lost jobs or businesses because of the coronavirus. And at most, you made about $200 a week, and that gets you up to about $10,000 under the IRS filing limit. And if that's true and you've lost your $200 a week job, then that's the absolute most you should get out of this. But I do think that there are some people who are thinking, well, maybe I can get something since everybody else is. Well, everybody else is because they've lost jobs and they've lost businesses. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't make enough to file a tax return, you probably are not due a freebie check from the taxpayers of this country, or my children, my grandchildren, since this is all going on to our national deficit here. So anyway, I just wanted to respond. This isn't some freebie if you have not lost income due to COVID-19. It's not like you suddenly, I'm going to get $1,000 a week. I only made $8,000 last year. Now I'm going to get $52,000 or prorated $52,000 as long as they're sending out the checks. Now, it doesn't work that way. It shouldn't work that way. It better not work that way. So that's my answer to that texter. And then I heard in Heather's newscast, they're still following up on the near riot at the Monroe prison last night because the inmates want to get out. I mean, they literally, it's like Monopoly. They want to get out of jail free card because of COVID-19. And they say the six inmates have tested positive. And Gary Horker, Cairo 7, he talked to three family members who were outside the prison supporting their inmate family members. And there is, and I know, you know, Gary, there's no way he could get this info while he's doing his report last night. But here's what I'd like to hear. But here, anyway, here first are the family members as they were rioting at the Monroe prison last night because they all want to get out of jail free card because of coronavirus.
He emailed me about an hour ago that it's very crazy here. He doesn't know what's going to happen, and I haven't heard from him since then.
My husband is asthmatic and he has COPD. He's been 5 days without an inhaler because he doesn't even eat in the chow hall. And, you know, eat in the chow hall because the last time he was in there, they were sitting two men to a table that were less than 3 feet apart. There's no social distancing.
And there's still other inmates around. There's no actual, like, real quarantine area in there.
It's not everybody in there are murderers and rapists. There are good men inside, fathers, sons, husbands, and we want them safe.
Now, the thing I would like to know is what crimes did these guys commit to end up in the Monroe prison? Because, of course, their family members love them, and I get that. And they want them to get out of jail before they've served their time. Yeah, I kind of get that. But do you know how tough it is to get into prison these days in Western Washington? It's almost impossible to get into prison. We got this Francisco Calderon dude who's committed 75 crimes, many of them violent, and the King County prosecutor just revolving door, let him come through the jail or the court, let him walk out. Just keep waiting until he kills somebody, right? But you can commit 75 crimes, many of them violent, and you don't go to prison. It's really, really tough to go to prison. So what did these guys do? Did they commit assault? Did they commit sexual assault? Did they commit armed robbery? I would just like to know that as the family members are telling us that they should all get out of prison free. And so here's what I saw. They were threatening to set fires last night if they don't get released from prison. So I looked this up. Much of the Monroe prison is made of concrete. And it takes a 2,000 degree fire for 4 hours constant to structurally impact concrete. So I say, I mean, if they want to set fires, let them set fires. You just can't burn stuff that burns at 2,000 degrees. And that's the way it goes. But the solution, you know, they say, we want answers. Don't commit a crime that is so significant that it lands you in prison in a state where it's almost impossible to imprison people. I know the family members are scared. I get all of that. And then, oh, one other, while I'm on this similar topic, do you realize that Dow Constantine has released 600 criminals from the King County Jail in the last couple of weeks because of COVID-19? And this is an extension of, again, the how social justice warriors are killing us, killing our society. But Dow Constantine directed jail officials to decrease the number of people in the two jails in Kent and Seattle. And so they have released more than 600 criminals in the 2-3 weeks between March 13th and April 3rd, 600 criminals have gotten literally a get-out-of-jail-free card because of COVID-19. And so you got prisoners in Monroe who want get-out-of-jail-free. You got people texting in who didn't make any income last year, who want a big bailout check from the government. And it's this region. We have politicians who are aiding and abetting this nonsense. It's pretty incredible. All right, moving on. All that is prelude. That was about a 15-minute prelude. Now, that's what happens when I listen to the radio station before I go on the air. I hear all this stuff that I got to straighten out. All right, let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
And this is a Dory Monson show, I Told You So. You may recall, just over a year ago, I talked to a listener, woman. She'd lived in Seattle for 50 years, and she was at Northgate Mall, dropped a couple of things and her keys in the parking lot. And when she reached down to pick them up, she got pricked by a hypodermic needle. And I had her on the show, and she was describing how she was just having all these sleepless nights because she had to get tested for HIV and hepatitis, which are two of the main diseases carried by these needles. And she wasn't going to get the results for a few days. And I'd talked to her right when this happened. And we talked at the time about the hepatitis outbreak that is absolutely inevitable in our homeless encampments. And shortly before that, we had told you about a San Diego hepatitis outbreak. And sure enough, we now find that as we are fighting the global pandemic of COVID-19, King County has another epidemic to worry about. And this is absolutely directly thanks to Jay Inslee and Dow Constantine and Jenny Durkin and the Seattle City Council and all the like-minded politicians. There is a major hepatitis outbreak in the homeless encampments in the Seattle region right now. According to Seattle and King County Public Health, we've got 10 times the number of hepatitis cases versus the same period of a year ago. They had 3 a year ago. Now they have at least 30 that they know about. And they say that most of them are in these homeless encampments. But that is, and when you know that the homeless people are climbing on Sound Transit and the free buses and riding in circles all day, according to the transit operators, that they are just turning our mass transit into rolling homeless shelters themselves. And then there are some people, essential workers, who are using mass transit to get to work. And now they've got to deal with this being their fellow passengers. But the reason I say this directly tied to our politicians is because we have chosen to be the magnet destination for heroin use in the country. Dan Satterberg has done a de facto legalization of all drugs. We do not put people in jail for any drug use in our region. And so the word's been out for years that the easiest place in the United States to be a heroin addict is the Puget Sound region. And so, of course, we're going to get the disease that comes with that. And so now Seattle and King County Public Health confirm that in the midst of COVID-19, we also have a hepatitis epidemic that is growing at a shocking rate here in our region. Thank your politicians for that. That is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
And then, did you hear how they're spending your tax money when the economy's struggling and people are out of work, businesses are shuttered. Did you hear how Seattle Department of Transportation is spending your tax money? It's an amazing story. Details next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, our transportation specialist and ACE reporter, Chris Sullivan, he got a tip on something that happened in West Seattle. And I should give credit to the tipster because she's one of my favorite people in the world. It was Jeanette. And let me welcome Chris Sullivan into the big show, joining us live. Hello, Mr. Sullivan.
Yeah, from the Snohomish County Bureau of the of 97.3 Cairo FM.
I like it. All right, so you got a tip about something pretty strange that was going down in West Seattle. What did the tipster tell you?
Well, the tipster, Jeanette, of all things, she walked out of her house the other day, earlier this week, and she noticed there was a pretty big uproar going on with neighbors and whatnot. And it turns out that the city of Seattle towed at least 12 cars on Southwest Avalon Way in West Seattle because they weren't moved in time for the continuation of the construction project there, which has been ongoing for about a year now. It's a protected bike lane and bus only lane expansion there from Avalon Way from 35th kind of down the hill as you work your way down on the east side of the West Seattle hill there. And so the signs had gone up over the weekend, giving the 72-hour notice to people who were parked there that, hey, come, you know, 72 hours from now, you're going to have to move. But the problem was most of the people who had parked there along Avalon Way had parked and sheltered at home. They haven't left their house. They hadn't gone out. And so the city put up these 72-hour notices that it was going to be no parking coming up on Tuesday, but nobody left their houses to notice that these signs had been put up. And no other warning. Yeah, no other warning was given. And so some people didn't even know that there were no parking signs put up until they got a notice from Lincoln Towing that their car had been towed and they owed $230. And so they towed them.
Oh, my goodness. So you sent, because you have such great contacts in the transportation world, and you sent them an email saying, did you guys really do this? And I loved how you asked it. You said, how can the city justify this? Will the city waive the fees? What kind of response did you get?
Well, they did the right thing. They waived the fees. And they said, now, there are some people that said, oh, we heard 30 or 40 cars got towed. According to the city of Seattle, it was only 12. And by the time that we'd kind of brought this up, I think eight or so of the cars, the people had already gone and gotten them out of Hawk and paid the $230 and brought them back. And so the city is going to reimburse them that fee for getting them out of impound. For the people who couldn't afford the $230, I mean, think about it. If you're a restaurant worker, contractor, whatever, you live in West Seattle and you've been laid off, I mean, $230 you weren't expecting is a big hit. And so the people who couldn't afford to get them out of Hawk, the city said, okay, we'll take them. We'll Lincoln Towing. We'll bring them back. We'll put them back in the neighborhood. And, you know, we won't charge you for that. So they did the right thing. And I think one of the things that kind of happened, normally there are a couple of different layers to these no parking zones that kind of go up. First, there's the sandwich boards, the little ones. You've seen them on the sidewalk. It happens outside the building a bunch. But usually they also reach out to the neighborhood again and say, hey, by the way, construction is up this week, because a lot of these projects, you know, a couple weeks off, a couple weeks on, maybe a month off, whatever. They let people know. And that last little step in the chain didn't happen. So the extra warning to people didn't happen. The city admitted that, and they're like, okay, yeah, we messed up here. This was not what we should be doing. You were sheltering in place, and you did the right thing. So going forward, this project is still going forward. It's considered essential by the city of Seattle. So next week, from Monday to Friday, there's not going to be any parking allowed in this same spot. So you should know now, don't leave your car there, or you will get towed, and the city's not going to be so generous this time.
I am going to push back a little bit, Chris. You know I love you, but I'm not sure they did the right thing, because all the right thing is they are telling us, the taxpayers, that we got to spend thousands of dollars to return these cars. The right thing would be if whatever morons were responsible for this decision, whether they be for Seattle DOT or the private contractor who's working on the project, if it's a private contractor, this should come out of their profit, out of their bottom line. But just saying, hey, we're going to spend all this taxpayer money, thousands of dollars, to get you your car back, that's pretty easy to do. That's awfully easy to do.
And again, I didn't get clarification, or I don't think I asked that specific question as to, okay, where's the money? All we got was, hey, we're waiving the fees or we're reimbursing them. I'm pretty sure that if it was a contractor issue, the city probably would ask that contractor to eat it and then reimburse them. But I can dig deeper and ask that final question, because that's one thing I didn't get a clarification on, because I was just really kind of laughing to myself that this actually happened.
I'd like to see it come out of the salary of Sam Zimbabwe, if that is his real name. Okay,
he's got enough to worry about the West Seattle Bridge,
that's right. Okay, and I only have about 30 seconds here, but the other thing that intrigues me about this is a bike lane and a transit lane. Are the construction of that continuing is considered an essential business, and yet we have private contractors, drywall hangers, plumbers, electricians who are dying to go back to work and are told that they cannot. And again, I'm just wondering how anybody can take this whole thing seriously when they say that putting people out of work is okay in the private sector, but we got to get this bike lane built. That's insane to me.
And again, that's one of the questions we keep asking when we see the disparity between public and private, what's essential and what is not.
Yep,
when it
I
comes
know.
To construction, certainly, and I did another story today, it's up at mynorthwest.com too, that talks about how the pressure is mounting. People are going to the governor and going, listen, there's a lot going on here that can be done safely in the construction side. Please treat private and public companies the same.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it's just the hypocrisy revealed once again. All right, you're the best, Chris. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on with me today.
Anytime, Dory. Be safe.
Okay, Chris Sullivan joining us live. Love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 98973. That is 98973. And coming up next, another Dory Monson show, I Told You So. It's related to COVID-19. Straight ahead. So I went to the grocery store a few days ago, and there was one checkout line shorter than the self-check. So I went through it, and the checker said, paper or plastic? And I didn't know that was an option, because the city in which I live banned plastic bags. And I think we just did it statewide in this last legislative session. Because plastic bags are evil. They destroy the environment. And it's all phony because, yes, plastic in the oceans is abhorrent. And it's a horrible problem. And 98% of it comes from China and Africa and these countries that just throw all their garbage into rivers, and that goes into the ocean. And what we do in the United States is almost nothing. But my main criticism of the plastic bag ban when it was first being proposed at the statewide level was they said that this will encourage everyone to just go to reusable cloth bags. And I said, are you kidding me? Do you know how seldom, and yeah, it's their own fault, but do you know how seldom people wash their reusable grocery bags? And I used to be a courtesy clerk at Albertsons. I used to bag groceries for a paycheck a million years ago. Did I say it Albertsons? Was it Safeway? Did I say Albertsons? Yeah, I was a Safeway courtesy clerk, the Ballard Safeway. And, you know, you put meat in. Most people don't use that extra plastic. And that's the other thing. They have plastic bags to put your produce in, plastic bags to put your meat in, so the meat juice won't get into your bag. But most people don't do that with their meat. And I said, So we're going to put dripping chicken and beef in cloth bags. I said, do you know the E. coli potential? I wasn't thinking of COVID-19, but I was thinking about epidemics. And in fact, Nicole found this. A year and a half ago at the Seattle Aquarium, they were trying to push for this statewide plastic bag ban, and they brought in the plastic bag monster.
Free plastic bags!
Yeah. That was a guy dressed up at the Seattle Aquarium. And I said, this is just an epidemic waiting to happen. Well, guess what? Here we are in the midst of an epidemic, and they're not telling people, don't bring your cloth bag. But they're saying, if you bring your cloth bag, our checker's not going to touch it, our courtesy clerk. You got to bag it yourself. We don't want our people touching your dirty, filthy cloth bag. They don't phrase it that way, but I know what they mean. And again, because it feels good, we're going to save the oceans. Now, we've done nothing for the oceans. You want to do something for the oceans? Let's put pressure on China and India and Africa to stop dumping all their trash into rivers that flow straight into the ocean. We did nothing except feel good, but in feeling good, we actually are probably making a lot more people sick. So now they've reversed it in most cities because of COVID-19. What a shock. I told you so. All right, Fast 15 next.